Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. So get this, Goo. You want to talk about a letdown. Unbelievable letdown for Steinmetz on Saturday. I'm listening to 95.7 The Game, and I hear my main man, John Dickinson, on with Whitey Gleason.
I had it on, too.
12 to 4. It was a four-hour show from Friedman's.
Look at it.
Great show. And I was a little idle on Saturday. Okay. So about 3 o'clock, I text JD, and I go, JD, I'll make a little creek run at 4 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
He's like, yeah. I'm going to Denver.
Right. I knew
JD,
that.
JD, you're killing me, man. I was itchy on Saturday night.
Yeah, you had action. And let me tell you, any other Saturday, there would have been action in Walnut Creek. And you know, I'm always good for it. And,
yeah.
And to have a couple and talk about everything that's going on.
But, Jay, you were at the Rocky. You caught some baseball, too, now. I saw you. I said, my boy gets it in, Stoddy. You don't know you went to the Rocky game.
When?
This weekend.
So you, wait, but it had to be Sunday.
Yesterday. I got two innings in yesterday because I was too late Saturday getting in because of the Friedman's remote. So I said, well, you know what? I'd never been to Coors Field inside.
I
walked by it a bunch of times. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go early to get a little bit of the early kickoffs. I found a sports bar right by there, was checking out some of the early games. And I said, you know what? I'm going to stay for an hour.
Love it.
And then cut out and then head over to the stadium. And so, yeah, I saw the first couple of innings and big fan of Coors Field on the interior. I went up to the rooftop, big bar area out there. They had a bunch of the NFL games on there, too. So it was
nice.
It was multitasking like I like to do in the lab, guys.
Nice.
You know, watching baseball down below and watching a lot of the NFL action and a crazy morning on some of the big screens at the bar.
Well, listen, JD, the one thing, we're going to get into Garoppolo and Shanahan and everything, but the one thing that I was thinking about as we led into the week was the atmosphere in Denver. It feels like Denver isn't an easy place to play. I mean, I don't know if you've been to Mile High before, or it's something at Mile High now, I don't know, but what was your impression of just the venue as a place for a visiting team to play?
Yeah, Empower Field at Mile High is the formal name now. It's had a couple of different ones, but they always want to let everybody know that you're at a Mile High to maybe a psychological component. I know the Nuggets love to put 5280 and Mile High all over the ball arena as well to maybe put it in people's heads as far as some of the players. But no, this was something that I had made mention of on social media and on the show Saturday with Whitey. The Denver environment and in that stadium is, I think, top five in the NFL. And anytime you always we'll rank them, well, New Orleans and Seattle always gets mentioned, Kansas City, and you can pick a wild card that maybe I'm not mentioning, but I think Denver is in the top five, and they didn't disappoint. And I'll tell you, from going down on the field pregame, there were a lot of Niner fans there, and a lot of them came down to watch the warm-up close to the front row of the stands, and they all had their signs, and they're yelling for people, and Debo Samuel, George Kittle, others signed a bunch of autographs. And I thought to myself, man, there's a lot of Niner fans here. And then I went back up to the press box, and it gets to be inside a half hour before kickoff, and I couldn't even really see any patches of red because there was so much orange.
Wow.
And I'll tell you the other thing, it was like it had the feel of an old school basketball arena, in the sense that the way it's built, and Seattle's kind of like this too, the stands are steep, so the fans are on top of you, which I think creates another part of the environment which can be a little bit jarring. And look, NFC team, NFC West team, you're only going there once every 8 years. So I thought this was a sneaky tough game for the Niners just based on the environment. And then I'll tell you, final point on it, there were moments consistently throughout the game when the Broncos were on defense and the 49ers were on offense where the press box was shaking, because I think the people above or the people down in front were stomping their feet to the point to try and make a lot of noise, to where you'd hear the press box and feel the press box physically being rattled. Now look, didn't look like it was much of a problem early on in the game for the Niners, but it definitely wasn't nothing from being there in person.
Jay, I can't yet, man, the noise is loud. You know it. Fans are mad. They're yelling for Shanny head. And I got to be honest, when that game was over, I was like, how the hell did the Niners lose that game? But my blame was mostly at Garoppolo. And I'm up here talking to Steiny, and I'm playing the game back in my head. Jeff Wilson Jr., 12 for 75, almost broke a couple, averaged 6.3 yards on the ground. Jay, why only 12 carries is what all of a sudden I'm fixated on, and that is Kyle. That's a question for Kyle.
Yeah, it's 12 for 75, and the average looks nice, but it was really 1 for 37 and 11 for 38. Which is, you know, it's because the longest carry of the night was a 37 yarder, and then he had 11 carries for the other 38 yards when you add it up and do the math. And look, I think the Broncos did enough and gave the 49ers enough looks and stopped the run enough to where clearly, and the Niners had success throwing the football in the first half, clearly they thought there were openings and plays to be made, assuming they could protect. So I know in hindsight, you look back and you go, well, they should have run it more. And I think there were times where they ran it on first down and they didn't get much. There were times where they threw it on first down and it was incomplete. And then what are you going to do if you're going to run it on second down? That's not really a high percentage play there. So I think Kyle did get caught a little bit in between in terms of some of the play calling, and then they couldn't protect, which I think obviously impacted the passing game, and got behind, and Jimmy Garoppolo forced one into double coverage to Debo Samuel, and it winds up getting batted and tipped. I thought it was interesting. I'm not sure if you guys talked about this, but you've talked about everything and the third downs and all that, but in Shanahan's conference call, I was listening to that, he put the blame on the fumble on the center. Who snapped the ball too late. Shanahan said everybody went and the center snapped it late, and that caused the miscommunication. So as bluntly as anybody could, I know Garoppolo was taking a lot of heat for that, but he put it on Brendel, the center, specifically for going late and being off count with the rest of the offensive line and Garoppolo.
You're listening to John Dickinson. He's in Denver. And we'll have more from Kyle Shanahan. He just talked to the media. But the one thing he did also say, JD, is looks like Trent Williams is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So, obviously, he's their best lineman.
Tough. And that means Colton McKivitz is going to have to step in like he did in Week 18 when the 49ers, ironically enough, were able to come back and beat the Rams, and he held up okay. I thought it was really curious, and I know it did get explained after the game, why did Jalen Moore go in at left tackle when Trent Williams went out? And Jalen Moore was awful,
man.
In the limited snaps that he played. I mean, it was a turnstile, and to the point where Shanahan explained after the game that McKivitz had been banged up and hadn't got the reps at practice over the course of the last week, and so Moore was more prepped in terms of having reps, but he couldn't handle the bright lights or the environment at all, and it was so bad that they had to rip him out of the game due to ineffectiveness and go to McKivitz, who hadn't practiced as much. So, yeah, it makes it tough, but the Niners have shown that they've been able to win big games and even win big games against this specific opponent that they're facing next week with McKivitz. And hell, I think Tom Compton was the right tackle last year, and Tom Compton was somebody that nobody wanted to see playing on that offensive line for the Niners over the last couple of years. So look, when you don't win games that are right there in front of you and guys get hurt, they're missed opportunities, and that means you got to make up for it at some point. But if guys get hurt, that means it's going to be that much more difficult. I mean, this is two losses, really, you could put in the category of, man, if you win either one of those games, you're feeling okay about where you are, but you didn't, and now you're feeling like you're up against it a little bit and having to make up for that missed opportunity by winning another game later on down the line.
Jay, I need your help. We had Lo on about an hour ago, and I am so impressed with this Niner defense as a whole, but if I go around telling people that, and they look at the Chicago game in the second half where they, you know, they gave up the lead in this game last night, like, how do you settle the score for that? Because this is a top three defense, but yet again, they allowed the team to score at the end. How is D'Amico Ryans addressing his unit?
Well, the lead needs to be bigger. First and foremost, the leads that the 49ers have had in both of those games needed to be bigger. I thought Fred Warner, it was interesting what he mentioned last night, the fact that it doesn't matter how dominant they are, that they have to finish games better. But as far as the specifics as to why, I mean, it was one drive where Russell Wilson made a couple of plays that are Russell Wilson-like plays. And I think, you know, you tip your hat, but at the same time, if you have one drive where Russell Wilson does something heroic against you in a game, you got to consider yourself fortunate. And again, I keep coming back to the fact that the lead needed to be better, or it needed to be bigger at that point. But the last night, I think, is in a different category than the Bears game, because the Bears game, the defense was not like – there were two specific breakdowns in coverage that led to explosive play touchdowns. That is more in line with what can't happen. And on the – like, if you wanted to say, hey, that game was more on the defense – like, last night you can't put the on the defense at all. The Bears game, I'll give you if you want to share the blame, Goo. I know you – but last night, to me, has got to be
– I'm with you.
You need to be up two scores at that point, and if Wilson punches one in, you're still up 20-11.
All right, JD, get home safe. Thanks. And we'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, John Dickinson from Denver.